The Ireland-Portugal Business Network is comprised of more than 200 member companies based in Portugal and Ireland. These companies are from a wide range of industries and professions and represent in excess of 25,000 people.
So we'll start with Professor Ricardo Moraes. Ricardo is from our academic partner, the Porto Católica Business School. So Ricardo, if you want to go ahead.
Thank you, Arnold, for this invitation. Good morning to all of you. It's a pleasure to be here. And I want to thank also the dean of my business school, João Pinto, for asking me to represent him today. I'll try to give you an overall picture of the northern region of Portugal. So basically, since I'm also representing a business school, I'll try to give you a more structural picture of the northern region in terms of sectors, because my interpretation of business opportunities for 25 was a bit asking, as we usually do in economics, especially industrial organization, which industries are growing, and before that, which industries characterize the north of Portugal. And as a proxy, as an indicator of that, I'm using exports. So I also want to thank the Regional Commission for the Regional Development. They gave me interesting data from 21 to 23. So I actually like when Arnold said this morning that Porto has been a dynamic center of this network, especially after the pandemic. So my data is after the pandemic, 21, 22, 23. So I'll try not to talk too much about numbers because usually we don't remember them and it's difficult to understand, but especially sectors. So try to think with me at what we call these meso levels. So it's not macro level, it's not major trends, mm-hmm. It's not micro levels, not specific companies. What I'm talking about is industries in general, and also to give you an idea of what the north of Portugal seems to be competent at. Because if you export to the world, and I'm talking about the whole world, you might be good at what you're doing. So that's the first insight I would like to give you. If I take the seven top sectors, okay, to give you a picture of what the north of Portugal is about, and I'm talking about over a billion euros per year in sales. We have the car industry, the textile, electrical equipment and machinery, metals, forest products, shoes and leather, and plastics. Okay, so I hope I was not too fast. Those are the top seven. And just to give you an idea, we usually talk about concentration ratio. So CR7, which is not Ronaldo, the seven sectors together, they account for 80% of exports. So that's pretty much the 80%, 20% rule. They are the engine, if you want, year after year of the north of Portugal. Okay, so that's structural. Okay, so we assume these sectors are the most competent ones and the strongest in terms of exports. So if you work with them, I think you'll be fine. It will be win-win. The second point I would like to make, a less static view, is which sectors have been growing the most since the pandemic, okay? And now they account for only 2.6%. See, it's not 80%. They account for only 2.6%. But they are growing 64% 64% in 2 years. So I would like to work with them as well because they are extremely fast growing sectors, and they are different. That's what makes this type of analysis interesting. So now if I think about the fastest growing sectors, I would go to aeronautics, super interesting, okay. I would go something that surprised me, hats and umbrellas. Is it raining in Ireland? I don't know, but that's something interesting. Specialized textiles. We have also something interesting, which is toys and games, entertainment in general. I was curious to know if this includes digital gaming industry, which, for instance, in Finland, where I live 9 years, it's very top, very hot. We are talking about also furniture, wood, prefabricated houses. I don't know if it's only wood, but that's also a very fast growing sector. We have navy. Shipbuilding. So I don't know if this has to do with some specific project. Something that I find very hot as well, and you, unfortunately, is army vehicles. Okay, you know the spending on defense is growing, so that's definitely growing as well from the north. And glass, we have a glass manufacturing intensive. So you see the sectors are different, right? Not the top ones in terms of traditional weight are not the fastest growing. These are the fastest growing. And I'm very happy to share with you these statistics, my Excel file, which is a very simple one, after this presentation. Now, I was also too curious to know a little bit, because I'm speaking about the north of Portugal to the whole world. I was also interesting to look at, oh, actually, something I would like to tell you is that of these sectors that are growing, you don't necessarily have much business with Ireland. So it's almost like saying we are very good at selling to the world and we are not yet selling to Ireland. So I think it's really an opportunity for 25. And I'm happy to share with you those statistics that show precisely that. My final point that I would like to share with you is the trade with Ireland itself. Okay, so we think about Northern Portugal and Ireland. So what's happening? Unfortunately, they gave me data about exports, not so much about imports. The only data I have about imports from Ireland to the north of Portugal is this year, first 10 months. But I can tell you that in general, Ireland only accounts for 0.6% of the exports of the northern Portugal. And this year, for instance, is 0.5%. So it even seems that it's decreasing slightly. So I think there is an opportunity for more trade with Ireland in terms of exports. In terms of imports, it's exactly the same. It's funny that it's 115 million exports, 115 million imports, exactly the same, totally balanced. What the north of Portugal imports and exports from Ireland. And in terms of sectors, to conclude, I'd like to tell you the sectors that have been growing the most in terms of trade with Ireland. And I find it interesting, a new sector I haven't mentioned yet, optics, precision optics. Okay, very interesting. Again, the shipbuilding, but also pharmaceutical products. I still haven't mentioned that, which is very specific to Ireland because you have such a strong health sector. Furniture, I haven't mentioned yet, furniture. In general, forest and electrical equipments and glass, I think I had mentioned before. So three profiles of sectors, okay? What we are good at to the whole world, what has been growing to the whole world, and what we have been trading, what is growing the most with Ireland in particular, okay? And my final comment would be that these that are growing the most, the last ones I mentioned to Ireland, they actually account for about a third of our trade with Ireland. So, as I said, I'm very happy to share with you these numbers, and we can keep the conversation afterwards. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Ricardo. So, looks like there is a work that the APBN needs to do to increase that trade with Ireland. So, will help in our very small scale. There is a where we will have a conversation afterwards. But I just wanted to say that. Last year, we had a really good ocean conference in Porto, and there were this is an area that seemed to be with potential of trade between the two countries on the renewable energy. We had and I know already one of our members are working with Portuguese. They have a higher talent from them, and so there is already some cooperation there, and also the tourism area, which of course in the whole of Portugal, it's a very important sector, and in Ireland as well. And just 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a really, really great conversation between the friends of the Camino de Compostela, with something that they did in Ireland with the West Atlantic Way, which is about 2,000 kilometers of the coast in Ireland. They developed 10 years of that, and there was a great conversation between the two that they could learn from each other. So anyway, so now so that's for Porto. Now let's go south, not completely yet, but let's go middle of Portugal to Lisbon with Elisa. She's from Bridgin, and Bridgin was one of our three business success awards winner in 2024. So Elisa, if you want to, I'm going to pin if
Yeah,
I can.
thank you, Arnold.
Yeah.
By the way, we applied again this year for the
Oh,
awards.
again.
That's it. Yeah, of
You are
course.
going for the double.
We're of course. Anyway, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Arnold and IPBN for the invite. It's always nice to be here. People are always really nice in this network. It's one of my favorite, to be honest. As Arnold mentioned, I'm here to represent Bridgin. And for those of you who don't know us, Bridgin specializes in helping tech or tech-enabled businesses expand to Portugal. So whether it's incorporating a company, hiring local talent, relocating teams, or generally speaking, managing compliance, business compliance in the country, we basically make it easy for you to set up and succeed here. So that's why I'm here today. I'm going to quickly discuss why Lisbon is becoming one of the hottest destinations for companies looking to set up operations or hire talent here, but also for individuals, especially those who work in tech or, with tech companies. One big news is definitely the 2025 state budget, which has been discussed. Until the end of the year, we won't actually see exactly what it's all about. A few things are already have already been decided. Other things are still being discussed, but it brings some interesting opportunities, and we'll dive deeper into this in a second. But so, starting with the basics, why Portugal and why Lisbon? Well, first of all, the location. Portugal's location makes it a perfect bridge between North America and the European Union, but also due to the country's historical ties with Africa and with Asia, even within the EMEA region and Asia, it actually it's quite convenient. Lisbon has become a very international city. I don't know, I've been here. I'm not Portuguese, I'm Italian, but the first time I moved here, it was 2008, and then I moved back here in 2013. It was very different. It was a very different city. Today, the international environment is just, I mean, has grown exponentially. And of course, Lisbon is also very well connected with direct flights to, New York, San Francisco, Dublin, obviously. I think Cork as well has direct flight. I'm not 100% sure, but probably it does, which makes it super convenient in general for traveling. And obviously, it is part of the EU market, which is huge. It's 447 million people. So, if any company from outside of the European Union wanted to actually set foot here, Portugal would be the perfect gateway. It is a very stable and safe city. Lisbon is actually one of the safest capitals, and Portugal is just it keeps ranking as like in the top 10 safest country in the world. It's a thriving democracy, high human development, great place to work and live. The quality of life is amazing, and obviously the time zone is also an advantage. Then, about business opportunities here for 2025. Well, obviously, besides being a very stable and very safe
capital. It's also a very well-renowned tech and innovation hub. I would say it's no longer the hidden gem that people used to call. Nowadays, big names like Google, Cloudflare, I mean, they're already here. The Boston Consulting Group is opening a big support center in Lisbon. I mean, everybody's coming here. There's the Web Summit, the tech scene keeps growing. And actually, if you're a company that's really into AI, blockchain, green tech, gaming, the city's incubator has opened a series of thematic hubs. Some of them were actually opened in 2024. Some of them will be opening in 2025. Connections also happen within this thematic hub. The talent pool is amazing. There are differences between the kind of talent that is available in Lisbon and the kind of talent that's available, for example, in the north or in the interior or in the south of the country. Lisbon is quite famous for obviously tech talent. There is a solid education system and a growing number of STEM grads, but it's also known for expats. A lot of foreigners come here to work, so a lot of companies also come here to open not necessarily only tech hubs, but also customer success, customer care, marketing, any finance, even any support function for businesses actually thrives here. There are interesting R&D incentives. So if you're into innovation, there are tax benefits for R&D that are very interesting. You can get up to 82.5% in tax credits for your investments in R&D. I wouldn't say costs are that competitive anymore in Lisbon. Maybe in other parts of the country, yes. In Lisbon, it used to be way more competitive. Still, operational costs are lower than in most countries of the Western Europe. Salaries are still more competitive. And with the state budget, there are some interesting reductions in the IRC and other benefits for individuals like the IRS Joven, and other exemptions, basically. For individuals, actually, again, it's not only companies that are drawn to Lisbon. There are many professionals coming here too. There's a growing number of international companies, as I have discussed, that offer high paying compared to the average of the country, high paying jobs and challenging jobs. And also with the new but renewed non-habitual resident tax regime, which is now called IFICI plus. I'm sorry, I'm very bad in remembering all these acronyms. Expats gets to enjoy a significant tax reduction. So, it's basically a win-win, great jobs, great quality of life, and also lower taxes. I think that's it from my side. If you have any questions after, I'm happy to discuss.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, thank you. I mean, Lisbon looks like, it's there is a very big tech scene, and obviously the Web Summit, put Lisbon on the map in the world for a week, and it looks like Lisbon is becoming very much a tech city. But you were also mentioning, large groups like the Boston Consulting Group. So I think there is a good balance. It's not just startup and tech that the city is trying to attract, but also large corporations, like the Google. I think they have large offices here of more than 500 people.
Microsoft.
Microsoft and all that. So, but it looks like it's a very orientated towards tech, of course. And I know that the mayor of Lisbon is pushing very much with that new project, the Unicorn Factory. So you were mentioning, the multitude of different hubs that are spreading and being launched across the city. You have the Green Hub, the AI Hub, all very specific, really, to try to dynamize the ecosystem in Lisbon. Lisbon, and probably in the majority of Portugal, the issue is the accommodation. It's not, as you were saying, it's not so much affordable now. Okay, so now we'll go to the Algarve with Carlos Justino. So Carlos has been a very active member. He's been in several events and conferences, and Carlos is now located at the tech campus at the University of Algarve in Faro. So Carlos, let us know, because the Algarve is doing a lot in terms of business, not just the tourism and holiday destination, but very much a business location. There was the Tech Summit in the Algarve at the end of October, which was very good. And there is a large group of young entrepreneurs there trying to change everything. So, and Carlos is one of them. So Carlos, please, I'm going to pin you.
Okay, thank
Here we
you.
go.
Just the young part that I'm not as
Yeah.
young anymore.
A young, young, an
Hey,
old, young
morning
entrepreneur.
everyone. I'm Carlos. If I think most of people here already know me because I see faces in that we've been in many events. So, but for those that don't know me, I'm mainly work around technology and artificial intelligence. Basically, everything that I do these days is around AI. So, I like to say I'm trying to help small and medium-sized businesses to adopt AI so they can have a fighting chance against the big players. And that's been my mission for the last, well, say almost 2 years. Just make sure that the small can actually have AI in their business, can automate, can be productive as well. Okay, but talking about the Algarve in general, like Arnold was saying, I like to think that we are not just a holiday destination anymore. Algarve's been like that for so many years, and it's always been such a big fight to change this scenario. And it took a lot of work from many people, including me. And I think for most of us, that the challenge was a little bit bigger because we actually had to go away from the Algarve, so we actually moved outside Portugal to learn skills, to work in different companies, to adapt to new realities. And then after a long time, we all, or majority of us, we decided to come back and start doing something for the region. And now we're talking after 4 years, so more or less after COVID, stuff really starting to happen. Like Arnold said, we have the summit in the Algarve. It was an amazing event. We had speakers from many different countries coming to the Algarve to share the knowledge around technology, business, marketing. So it's really cool. We even had as Arnold invited, the ex-mayor of is Austin, Texas, isn't
Austin.
it? Yeah. Even him had he joined us and spoke at the event. So it was really cool on that as well. But what I like to mention most about the Algarve is not just the events, is the work that we've been doing with the young kids. So for a while now, we've been going to the Algarve University. Every year we try to do 2 3 weeks of mentoring with the kids from the second year of technology, and to help them and have a entrepreneur mindset and learn about business. We mentor them about how to create a startup, how they plan to have a really good startup. And I was there I think it was 2 weeks ago, and even I was really impressed with it, because the previous years we had in a class of 50 people, we had four or five that was actually trying to do something. And easier, we had a class of 70 kids that there was, I would say, 80% of them They was thinking like startups. They was building a business model canvas. They was building startup plans and preparing themselves to pitch to investors. So that was amazing. I was for me it was like probably one of my proudest moments, because I see these the challenges that we had in the past, and then we see these kids evolving to actually thinking like startups was really cool. So I think that for me is a way of changing the Algarve. Although saying that, we still have one big issue around here that majority of the kids, as soon as they leave university, they usually go to work abroad. So some stay on remote work, but hardly any of them work for the Portuguese companies or for the Algarvian companies. Like we build a lot of good tech oriented kids, but they tend to work outside Portugal. Eventually they'll come back, and we'll all be good around that. Another good thing that we've done recently was the Founders Program. I think like I'm not sure about the numbers all over Portugal, but I heard on the news that we actually, it was our first year, and it was actually the biggest founders program in Portugal. So we had 400 founders from all over the world that applied for our founders program, where again we were providing them with mentors, with coaches, and most importantly with over 300,000 euros in funding. So that was really cool as well for the region, and I bet most people here had no idea that the Algarve was doing these kind of things, because everyone always relates the Algarve to only tourism. Okay. On top of that, just after the pandemic, we had some big names moving to the Algarve that is helping a lot. Like we have Atos and Deloitte that open offices inside the tech campus. For those that don't know about the tech campus, is a totally tech orientated business center that we open inside the University of the Algarve in Penha. Okay, so it's really cool building, sustainable building. We produce our own electricity. We have water, intelligent water usage, and all that kind of stuff. So, and we have today, I think it's 30 or 35 startups that are being accelerated by the Algarve Tech Campus. So that's another cool thing about it as well. We are already planning stage two, where we want to have a second tech campus. And we're also going to build a commercial building with hotel attached to it, so people can come straight from the airport to the campus and do some business. It's something that we... I'm making fun about it, but it's something that we saw that's really important, because we have people that fly over just for meetings and for business actions with startups, and they want a place that they don't have to go far away from the airport. And far is great, but there isn't many options that are like great for business guys. So they usually tend to go either to my side where I am today in Vila Moura, or like go to Albufeira, but they didn't stay too much in Faro. So by creating this stage two of the tech campus, I'm sure that we'll be able to accommodate these people and make more business in the region. And talking about people coming over, we've been seeing a lot over the last 3 to 4 years, investors moving to the Algarve. So that's something that is completely new for us as well. Because before we always thought that we had the companies, but we didn't have an investment. And now we have exactly the opposite problem. We have investment available, but we don't have the startups. Okay, so we are fighting to change that and create startups here that can benefit from the many programs that we have. Like we have like the new ones that just found, the Core Angels Algarve, that are like with a lot of money available for startups. So, and that's also an invitation. So if you want to come to the Algarve and start your startup here, there's funds available. We have the Portugal 2030 funds that are, we don't really use them that much in the Algarve, and it would be great to see startups that could benefit from it. Although I'm the kind of person that like to bootstrap startups, so like saying that, but there is programs, there is money available for many startups around here. And some of the investors that moved to the Algarve, like people that decided to, okay, I'm gonna retire in the Algarve, like they always did, coming to Quinta do Lago, Vila Moura, and other places to retire. But as soon as they got introduced to the Algarve business scenario, straight away they decided to become investors and be part of the tech scene. So they, what did we call them today, semi-retired Algarvians, okay? Because we try to give like this independent of where you're from. If you are in the Algarve, if you're part of the Algarvian business scenario, we like to call themselves Algarvians. And that actually stuck. So, like, even people from all over the world, when you ask them, "Hey, where are you from?" say, "Like, I'm Algarvian." So straight away, we have that really cool feedback from people as well. Okay, I think other really interesting things about the Algarve is like the Algarve Digital Nomads. Okay, that's it's a really big thing happening around here as well. Especially with the help of Albufeira Municipality. They've been investing a lot of money and providing places and resources for digital nomads that want to stay in the Algarve. As before, it was more like they're coming here for surfing and to enjoy the sunshine. Now they're coming here and they have places where they can actually work in Albufeira. They have their own communities that are building around Albufeira, so they're always getting to do a lot of stuff together. So that's not the impressive thing. We actually, like Albufeira Municipality was actually at the Web Summit. It was the first time we had the Algarvian representation in the Tech Summit in Lisbon. Okay, so big win for the region as well. And next year we'll have also Albufeira Municipal, but also the Algarve Evolution will be with a booth at the Web Summit. So again, trying to change things quite a bit. Okay. One other thing that I like to mention as well about what we've been doing, all related to tech. Sorry, I'm a tech person, so if I go outside tech, I don't really know that much about what's happening. But one other thing that we've been running at the tech company is the tech campus is the hackathons. So we've been getting like startups from all over the Algarve. They join us on a Friday afternoon. We let them pitch to the like to all the mentors that are there. From Friday all the way to Sunday, we mentor them, we help them build a business plan, build a really good pitch. And then by Sunday, we have investors that are going there in the afternoon where they can pitch to. And if they're good at it, they get out of like of the weekend with investment money to grow the startup. So we've done that, I think 4 or 5 times over the last year. So I've tried to do like a every 3 months do these big hackathons as well. So and from there we started seeing startups around using ocean to create medical like just medical things in general. We see startups that are using the air to generate water so we can solve water problems that we have in the Algarve. We are now looking for AI and companies that are monitoring the soil and monitoring the sea to prevent, like, for example, forest fires and stuff like that. So we see that some really cool startups are coming from these programs
Yeah.
that in like in other any other year wouldn't even be possible because we didn't have the mentors, we didn't have people interested. Now we have people from that even from Ireland, from the Tech Enterprise Ireland and Tech Ireland that have joined the program here and are really good mentors. I always like to say that Ireland is at least 10 to 15 years ahead of us in this startup scenario. So having them here to help us out with it is just amazing. So this is just some of the good things that are happening in the Algarve. I don't want to take much of the time. So if afterwards, if you have any questions for me, I'll be more than happy to help. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. In terms of business opportunities for 2025, and do you see some sectors? Because one of the things in the Algarve, which I found, coming from the outside, is that the business development of the region is very much done by private entrepreneur like you. That it doesn't seem to be a concerted, plan or support from the government or from the public sector to really boost the Algarve region outside the tourism? And are there some plan to bring businesses like in Lisbon or in Porto? Ricardo was mentioning some different sectors. Is there some, because you talk about all those startups coming in, I mean, are they all in different sectors, or are there some, plan to bring, I don't know, healthcare, agrotech?
Yeah, we have, first, like, we have hardly any support from local governments. Okay, so it's close to none. Like,
that's the
like
problem.
I mentioned, we have Albufeira that is starting to do a few things with the digital nomads. But apart from that, is I hope there's no politicians here. But they like to go to the events to show that they've done something nice. But is after we did it, actually done the entire thing. They like to take the credit for it. That's my view of the
politicians
involved in the Algarve. But hey, we need to change things. And if we start by showing them that startups are happening, that the tech scene is happening, eventually they will start looking at it in with a different perspective and will actually decide to help us. But regarding the startups that are coming, agrotech is definitely a big one that is coming to the Algarve. Technology in general, with around AI, we're starting to see a lot of startups around here. But we have like many different, like from like I mentioned, the ocean related startups. And monitoring with AI startups, so using machine learning and this kind of new technologies, we see them a lot. I don't see many around tourism, probably because we try to avoid that, because tourism is already a big part of the Algarve. So we more or less try to avoid tourism-related startups when we're doing this mentoring. But recently, we actually saw a few more related to tours and things like organizing tours in the Algarve, but that's more like the most I see around tourism around here, But finance, tech, agrotech, and ocean, it's a lot happening around.
Okay, excellent. All right, so now let's go to Ireland. Let's go to Dublin. It looks like the Eurovision. Yeah, well,
it is. It sounds very the Eurovision point. I give 12 points to Portugal to start with.
Okay, so Niall is from IPBN member Glendore. They have a co-working space in different region in Ireland. They are in Dublin, Cork, Galway, no,
Belfast,
and Belfast. Okay,
yeah.
And Glendore, we had our last networking event at your office in Dublin, which was really well attended. So over to you, Niall.
Thank you. Portugal sounds a brilliant place to invest. I think I'll be encouraging the Kellys to maybe set up a new serviced office space somewhere in the country. But just interesting, I'll talk a little bit about, I suppose, business opportunities. Yeah, but Portugal, I suppose, is very much on the start of the kind of startup indigenous support and FDI journey. Ireland has been, I suppose, a top location for global firms to locate for many years, and also a very strong ecosystem of companies. But I'll chat a little bit about that later. But first of all, I'd just like to say thanks to Arnold for all your support over the last year. I'd like to say we strategically joined the Irish Portuguese Business Network, but our managing director ended up in Lisbon, and he splits his time between Dublin. But it's been great working with you and meeting lots of new Portuguese companies and individuals. A little bit of background on Glendore. I know Arnold gave a short introduction there. We're probably one of Ireland's first kind of indigenous flex space operators. We opened up in 2021. I suppose our managing director, Michael Kelly, has been involved in commercial property for quite a few years. And I guess part of it was opportunistic that we had acquired a nice building, Fitzwilliam Hall, where some of you have visited over the last year. And there were companies there who were requiring services and support. Then at the time, the Irish Development Association, IDA, were strongly encouraging international companies, mainly US, to set up in Ireland for the first time. And there was really a gap in the market for a very well-established new flexible serviced office provision for companies who are coming in. I guess from a serviced office perspective, in the property, you've got your traditional office space, which would be probably seen more on longer term lease agreements. And then the flexible serviced offering is more just on shorter term lease agreements. And you pretty much pay for what you need. So that kind of early stage, we saw an opportunity in the market, and we're nearly 25 years in business now, and we've been supporting lots of companies, scaling startups, small, medium-sized enterprises, and international companies for over 20 years, which has been, I suppose, a testament to the company and the business. Facebook and Twitter set up with us back in the early days when they landed in Ireland. We've Belfast, Dublin, Cork, I suppose we've it's probably a little bit of a benefit for us that we're kind of split in a couple of jurisdictions, and that's probably something for everybody listening in as well. Northern Ireland as well has over the last number of years built up a strong FDI proposition, and also has some very strong sectors and companies that are exporting and selling overseas. And Dublin, so we've got two buildings in Belfast. And we've got close on 8 or 9 in Dublin. Our newest addition, the Bottleworks building, which is 25,000 square foot, larger floor plates for companies that are right sizing, as we call it now, who maybe are looking at their property portfolio and seeing how they can accommodate the return to work. And then we've been in Cork since 2018 as well. We've got two floors down there, again, supporting a lot of companies that are coming into the region, but also startups. I suppose in terms of economic overview for Ireland, the year, I suppose, has been challenging, and probably globally as well for a lot of businesses. High inflationary costs, rising energy costs, increased competition. So most companies, whilst doing well, and this specifically counts for Ireland as well, are maybe finding things a little bit harder to make headway and to build up capital to invest in their business. Like I said, from a Glanbia perspective, we've had a solid year, and we're in a business where we have to invest quite a lot in our business. We're seeing a lot more companies that are leading grade A space. There's a lot of space on the market in terms of office space. Companies post-COVID, a lot were working from home. Some gave up the office, some downsized. And whilst it's a challenge for us, it's also an opportunity as well because more companies are looking at more flexible models and how they support their teams. And we do a lot of fit out and bespoke design for our clients to make their offices more collaborative. And then in terms of support, I guess one things we've tried to do over the last year and we hope to do in the future is to support companies that are looking at Ireland and looking at Ireland for the first time and be offering I suppose a base for companies to come in and spend a couple of days and meet with prospective clients, maybe attend events and things like that. So I suppose the Irish economy has been pretty strong. As I mentioned, it's quite a mature market in terms of foreign direct investment, very strong small, medium-sized tech ecosystem. Sector-wise, I suppose Ireland has very strong food, chemical, and pharmaceutical sector. 2023 these sectors accounted for 71% of all production in Ireland. Pharmaceutical sector reporting the highest net value. Tourism is a big industry. As you can imagine, there's over 6 million tourists visit Ireland annually. There's a huge industry around that. Service industries, they account for 29% of Ireland's GDP, and that's including pharmaceuticals, chemicals, computer hardware, software, food products, beverages and brewing and medical devices. Aviation, probably maybe might not think of aviation. I suppose we don't have the big OEMs here, but we do have a lot of companies who supply into airlines, specifically in Northern Ireland, a lot of companies who supply seating and fabrications into the aerospace industry. And also Dublin is a bit of a global hub for aircraft leasing. There's also, I suppose, other industries like engineering and plastics and forestry. But from an FDI perspective, probably tech and pharma have been very big. Financial services, assets, fund management, Dublin, I suppose. We've noticed from a landlord perspective, lots of UK companies looking at Ireland and setting up virtual offices, businesses, addresses off the back of the UK leaving the European Union. So we've actually seen more funds and more headquarters coming into Ireland off the back of that. And then we've a very strong, Carlos mentioned there, I suppose, about support for tech. Enterprise Ireland, we're lucky in Ireland that we've got Enterprise Ireland that works very closely with a lot of indigenous scaling companies. And then there's other organizations like Tech Ireland off that. There's lots of really good incubation hubs in Ireland that are supporting companies. Investment-wise, I suppose there's still a good bit of investment going into probably pre-seed companies. In terms of smaller funding, angel investment is still very strong. Probably the investment at that latter stage is a little bit down. I suppose large investors are experience a little bit more caution when investing into new companies, and that, I suppose, is having a ripple effect probably in our industries as well, as companies, I guess, that were hiring maybe 8 or 9 staff prior to COVID and might need 8 or 9 desks now, maybe don't need that. So that is impacting a little bit as well. But I think I mentioned those support organizations, Enterprise Ireland and IDA are very solid, but there's also good chamber networks, Dublin Chamber, Cork Chamber, and NI Chamber and the regional chambers are very good and at supporting companies that are coming in to assess the market. And there's lots of support and from our perspective, I guess there's a really strong professional services network in Ireland who are very good at advising and helping companies that are coming into the market and supporting those companies who are really looking to build connections in the Irish market. So by no means a complete in-depth view of the business opportunities, but just a little bit of an overview, I guess, from our side on what's happening in Ireland and in our world as well.
Yeah, no, excellent. Thank you so much, Niall. I mean, you mentioned, you know, Tech Ireland, Enterprise Ireland. We have Raoul, I think. Yeah, Raoul is on the call from Enterprise Ireland, but he's in Madrid. Yeah, you know, that's what I was talking about with Carlos about the Algarve, is that in Ireland, you have such a great, support. You mentioned the local chamber. A year and a half ago, we had a 3 days business trip to Cork with some of our members. We were received by the whole trip. I organized it with the Cork Chamber. So there is great support across the country, which I sometimes feel is something missing in the in Portugal. So you know, yeah, we have been a bit longer than I thought. So we are almost to the hour, but I really would like to give the chance to everybody here. So thank you again to have joined us, to ask any questions that you might have. I think there was something on the chat.
Tony, Trump has come up.
Oh my God, yeah.
Look, I guess, Tony, who knows on that front? Obviously, there is a little bit of concern in terms of tariffs, especially there's a lot of Irish companies, and food is Ireland's biggest export. There is concern about that, but we'll see how it plays out over the coming months. And I guess it works two ways as well, because, you know, what we could end up with is a tit for tat, because the US exports a lot of goods as well. So I'm by no means an expert on it, but I think we'll see how it plays out over the next number of months.
This has been a production of the IPBN in partnership with Pinkroom. For more information, visit us online at island-portugal.com and on LinkedIn at Island Portugal Business Network. For more IPBN podcasts, find us on Spotify or visit our website for the full list of episodes.